All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined to recap the Falcons' Week 6 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Kai Hall. We're also going to be talking a little bit about his conversation with Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years at falcfans.com. You know me on Twitter at falcfans, and of course I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your favorite Falcons podcast, favorite Falcons podcast. And today I am joined by none other than Kai Hall, former editor of Blogging Dirty, lifelong Falcon fan, sort of was on the fence a little bit if he wanted to continue living that life, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on today's show. But welcome to the show, Kai.
Aaron, thank you so much for having me, man. I gotta admit, I'm pretty excited to be on with you today. So I know I've been begging you to get on the show. So I have no problem. I have no shame in noting that for years I've been begging you to get on the show. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, it was, I don't even know when it was, but it was a while ago when you were like, hey man, let me be on the show. And I was like, sure, which is what I say to everybody. So it's nothing against you. I'm always like, yeah, sure, I'd love to have you on the show. And then, you know, and most of the time I do mean it. But it is one of those things where I just put it on the back burner. Like, yeah, eventually I'll get you on the show. In my mind, when I say that, I'm like, yeah, in like 2 or 3 months, you'll be on the show and it'll be great. And then, you know, 2 or 3 years pass and then, you know, you're on the
show.
That's
right.
So
that's right. Well, luckily I'm on today and we're able to talk about a Falcons victory as opposed to a loss.
Yes, you are in very rare company because most of the people I have on this show, at least as of late, tend to come on here after the Falcons lose a game to talk about that. But we do want to talk about that Falcons win over the Buccaneers, get a couple of thoughts on it, and before we jump into the bulk of what today's episode is going to be, Kai's conversation with Thomas Dimitroff and sort of his, you know, interesting loyalties when it comes to his fandom. And we can have an interesting conversation about fandom and that concept itself. But before we get there, let's talk about this Falcons win over the Bucs. What were some of your thoughts watching the game yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really in line or in succession with my thoughts throughout the season, which has been, you know, that defense. And certainly they've taken some hits in terms of injuries. And, you know, certainly I don't know that they're playing to their fullest potential as a whole. I think Manuel's a phenomenal defensive coordinator. I think Tack has the ability to lead the league in sacks. I have no idea what happened to the 2016 Vic Beasley. But yesterday's win, for me, was highlighted by the two interceptions that the defense created. And those two turnovers, albeit neither turnover was, you know, turned into points by the offense. Turnovers like that stops, particularly that one, I think, Brian Poole interception there in the red zone, prevented points from going on the board. And for me, that was the highlight. If the Falcons defense can continue to get a couple of turnovers like that, I think Crawford had a sack yesterday, you know, a very important sack. If they can continue to get pressures and sacks and one or two turnovers in a game, I think that that is more than, I think that is great considering all the injuries that have taken place, you know, on this defense. I'm completely content with that. So for me, that's the highlight I took away yesterday, these couple of turnovers. And I think the defense playing pretty solidly for given their task, considering it made me a happy camper.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if the turnovers things, is that something that the Falcons can continue to rely on? Given the nature of Jameis Winston's ability to force some throws and turn the ball over at a relatively high rate in this league.
Yep.
But, you know, Eli Manning has built a reputation for that. But since the last couple of years, he's done a pretty good job of limiting his turnovers and just gets sacked a bunch. So, you know, that certainly will be a positive for the Falcons. They have Alex Smith, who's the king of the check down. So it's not as if they're likely going to take advantage of too many turnovers unless they can maybe get Adrian Peterson, who has a history of fumbling the ball, to put the ball in the turf. But I do think the defense, you know, if they can get turnovers, if they can sort of get pressure in critical moments, particularly in the red zone, I think we're going to have to sort of have to rely on this defense to be a little bit more bend but don't break type of defense. Yep. And if they can get some stops in the red zone, whether it's a, you know, deflected interception or a critical sack or something like that to force a field goal, that's probably going to wind up being the key difference between this team's ability to win. Because we know the offense, for the most part, you know, there's been a couple of hiccups here or there, but we know the offense, for the most part, is going to be able to put points up on the board, and at least enough points up on the board to win the vast majority of games here on, from here on out. But, you know, that red zone defense is going to be critical, I think, for the Falcons' success moving forward in terms of winning games.
Yeah, you just mentioned, you made mention of Eli Manning and the Giants, and of course, I'm still relishing in this victory from yesterday, so I'll take the 2-4 record and ride with it. But you mentioned the Giants, and Odell Beckham isn't my concern. Certainly, Eli Manning is not my concern. My concern against the Giants would be one Saquon Barkley. And, you know, yes, you're right. Jameis Winston made some errant throws and some, you know, Casey came up with that interception. I don't know that Winston had any business throwing that ball. And of course, that pull interception probably didn't have any business throwing that ball either. Especially since I think he had Humphreys out in the flats there wide open in the red zone. He could have just almost walked that ball in.
We still got more to come on Kai's conversation with Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff, but there's still a little bit more to talk about. This week's matchup against the Giants, as well as this past week's win over the Buccaneers. But before we get there, I do want to remind you guys that fantasy football is still going strong this season. And if you want to find ways to win your league, you got to check out the two Locked On podcast shows devoted to fantasy football on the network. The first one is Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Go there to get your injury updates, and all the updates are from around the league in the fantasy world. Check out also Locked On Fantasy Football, hosted by Vinny Iyer, where you can get a new fantasy expert on every day of the show. Check out those podcasts wherever you get your Locked On Podcast Network, your fantasy team every day. Now, you guys, you know me. I have a lot of thoughts on things, a lot of answers that sound a little full of myself from time to time, but I'm not always as confident when I try to pick who's going to win each week on this podcast. And if you are very confident on who's going to win and who's going to lose, how many points a team is going to score in any given game, you guys got to check out MyBookie. That's right. You got to remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie, because trust me, guys, they're the best bet you'll make this season. They've been in business for years. Their reviews online are great. Their mobile site is very easy to use. There's in-game live betting, over and under points on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie recently has been slammed with new bettors, and they want to help you out by giving you a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to claim that offer. Go ahead, visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget the promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid.
You know, the defense got the 2 interceptions yesterday. I'm going to be very curious to see how they can stand up to Barkley, next Monday night. I think he had maybe, 99 receiving yards in his last game. Barkley did. You probably know better than I do, Aaron, but he's going to be no joke. And, I won't be surprised if he rushes it for over 100. Won't be surprised if he gets a grip low to passing yards. But we'll see what they plan on doing. My question to you is, how do you think they'll probably game plan to stop him?
You talk about Saquon Barkley?
besides pray, I don't know.
I don't think they really have a, I don't think, regardless of what the, unless the, they plan on shooting him, I don't think there's going to be stopping him. So, like, to be honest with you, because I think,
yep.
You know, I don't think the Giants will, you know, I'll see what the tape says, but I think the Buccaneers probably underutilized their running backs in the passing game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that's a question about Dirk Cutter. But I don't think the Giants are going to make that mistake because they know how effective Barkley is. And you saw the Falcons defense struggle to stop James Conner, and Barkley is, you know, I'm a huge James Conner fan, but Barkley is immensely more talented than James Conner is. And so
absolutely.
I think the hope is that, again, it'll be Barkley running roughshod all over the team. If they can keep guys like Beckham and Shepard, and I don't know if Ingram's going to play, but if they can keep those guys contained and sort of get after Eli Manning, that to me is really the only way that they're going to stop this Giants offense, which I know hasn't necessarily been good this year. But given that they, you know, I think it's what, like 15 consecutive failed third downs, but I almost guarantee you against the Falcons, they're going to convert like 60 or 70% of them. So,
it's
what the season has basically become. So,
I'm with you. And if they can, again, if the defense can come up with one or two turnovers like they did yesterday, I certainly think that it'll help us out, you know, tremendously, actually. So, it'll be a good game next week. But hey, I also want to, in talking about yesterday's game, read this morning that Mike Smith was released by the Buccaneers. And I my question to you was, and I meant to ask you on Twitter, do you think it was really a result of personnel, particularly even yesterday's game? Or do you think it was more so Coach Smith's scheme and the way in which he utilized those players on the defensive end of the ball?
Well, I can't necessarily speak specifically to yesterday's game, but having watched the Bucs defense over the last year or so, I would certainly say that they did not necessarily utilize the talent that they had on that defense to its fullest potential. I think they have a lot of Pro Bowl caliber players. I mean, basically, until maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, Levante David was arguably one of the three best linebackers in the league. I think Quan Alexander is just every bit as talented as Deion Jones is. You know, that Gerald McCoy, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vernon Hargreaves, et cetera. They have a lot of talented players in that defense to certainly, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're like a top 10 caliber defense, but they certainly have the ability to be at least a middle of the pack type of defense. And, you know, again, not necessarily being able to speak specifically to yesterday's performance, but certainly in previous performances against the Falcons and in previous performances against other teams, I just don't think the Bucs have really done a great job maximizing their personnel. And, you know, I am a fan of Mike Smith. I'm not as sort of hateful towards him and spiteful towards him as the vast majority of Falcon fans are. I think in a lot of ways he kind of got – I wouldn't say he got a raw deal in Atlanta. He got 7 years in Atlanta. But I think a lot of factors that sort of led to his demise weren't necessarily within his control. Certainly a significant amount of them were. But, you know, so I'll always be a fan of Mike Smith because, you know, unless Dan Quinn can sort of turn this thing around, he'll still be the only coach to have three consecutive playoff appearances for this Falcon team in team history. So he did a lot of good here that I think people tend to be a little bit dismissive of. But, you know, him as a defensive coordinator, I wasn't that impressed with him in Jacksonville. Obviously, Atlanta had their issues. And, you know, Tampa Bay certainly has had some good times under him, but a lot more bad under him. So it makes sense that they decided to move on.
Yep. Yep. Well, I feel for him. I mean, you know, I certainly agree with you in terms of kind of paraphrasing, but in terms of personnel and what the Bucs can provide on the defensive end of the ball, you know, I definitely think they have some talent. I don't know that I would completely agree with you that Alexander is, in my terminology, on par with Jones, and that's probably me being Deion Jones. That's probably me being a little biased there, but I do think that he's a Pro Bowl. Well, he definitely is a Pro Bowl linebacker, and I definitely think, you know, a future Hall of Famer at that. I was speaking of the defensive personnel. I was actually pretty impressed with Brent Grimes' play yesterday. I saw a statistic maybe a week or two ago, and if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, looks like he's had some struggles, particularly this season. So I feel like yesterday, and I haven't gone back and watched the game, but I feel like yesterday he had a pretty decent defensive game considering.
Okay. That's interesting. He wasn't a guy I paid too much attention to, but then again, at this point, normally in the week, I would have watched the game two or three times, so I've only seen it once, so that'll be something I'll definitely try to key on when I rewatch the game.
Yeah, I think there was one instance where, I'm pretty sure it was Julio Jones, that there was a ball thrown Julio's way. I could be wrong, maybe it's somebody else, but there was a ball thrown Julio's way, and Brent Grimes was just with him step for step, and basically put his body in the position to where Julio couldn't get. Actually, it was the pass where Matt Ryan completely underthrew Julio, so that may have something to do with it. But again, I thought for the most part he played pretty decent considering, I think, the season that he's had.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, speaking of Mike Smith, we're going to talk a little bit about Thomas Dimitroff. But before we get there, I want to let the people know that the NBA season is back and the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered. You can find a Locked On Podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including Locked On Hawks, hosted by my good friend Brad Rowland. Wherever you get your podcasts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your NBA team every day. Now, one thing that we always ask as Falcons fans, what do Falcons do? Of course, they rise up. Well, they haven't been doing that as much as of lately, but perhaps maybe you guys are looking for ways of rising up and you want to increase your performance and get that extra confidence back in the bedroom. You can right now by heading over to bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue, because bluechew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. This stuff works, and you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as any pill. So unlike the Falcons, you can be ready to rise up whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than any pharmacy you can visit. Right now, we've got a special offer for our Locked On Falcons listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So, Kai, let's talk about the subject that has caused you a little bit of controversy on Twitter. And full disclosure, Kai messaged me like the day before he sort of went online on Twitter and talked about publicly his conversation with Thomas Dimitroff. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that say you've made this up to gain attention. I don't believe that. I could sit here and spend the next 5 minutes explaining why I don't believe that. But generally speaking, I would basically my stance is if you have made this up, you have gone through so much trouble for very little payoff other than being on this podcast, apparently. So, you know, that was my goal, Aaron. Yeah, so I think, you know, I believe you. I think most of the listeners should also believe you as well. But Kai, go ahead and explain what exactly I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it'll help once the Falcons release, you know, the story on it. Hopefully that'll be soon, but they should be releasing a story on their site. So at least then, hopefully, then it'll put, you know, doubt to rest. Last year I published an article, and it was about being a Falcons fan, and specifically what type of Falcons fan are you. And I went through a series of different scenarios of what type of Falcons fan someone might be. You know, are they a Mike Vick era Falcons fan? So they played, you know, with Mike Vick on Madden, and then by default, they became Falcons fans, and some of them left when Michael Vick was removed from the team, and then some of them remained even after Michael Vick. So, you know, were you that type of fan? Are you a kind of like an intellect? I'm going to use the word intellectual type of Falcons fan, and that's where I kind of categorize you in that you're able to, without really emotion, you know, sit down and watch a Super Bowl 51 and pick apart things that, you know, didn't go right from a football's perspective, from a scheme perspective. You're able to sit down and look, you know, and kind of dissect the game. Whereas someone like myself looks at it and it's all pure emotion. So I don't necessarily have the capabilities to do something like that. But you don't waver in emotions. And Aaron, I think I even messaged you a couple weeks ago and I was like, how in the world do you just kind of stay level amidst, you know, the Falcons being 1-3 or 1-4, whatever they were at the time? And, you know, how do you deal with the fact that they've, you know, they've let fans down for a number of years? And you gave me your answer, but I think not to put words in your mouth, but the gist of it was, you know, that you you just kind of take an emotion out of it and you look at it from a different perspective, which I actually probably think is very wise. Then there's a type of Falcons fan that would respond as I did last week after the Falcons got obliterated up in Pittsburgh. And that is to say, you know, you put all your emotions into it and no holds barred. You know, you want to quit being a fan. You want to get rid of all your Falcons swag or your team swag. And so that's who I became last week. I probably likened myself to that type of Falcons fan. The Falcons lost to Pittsburgh. They went to 1-4 on the season. I've been through some very difficult seasons with the Falcons. Of course, the year that Mike Smith had all those injuries on the team, and I forget if that was 2000. Was it 2014 or 13?
13.
When they had all those injuries, and that was an ugly season, particularly after that very tough NFC Championship loss to the 49ers. Go all the way back to when, you know, Falcons played in the Super Bowl there against the Broncos. And I think the only highlight, was it Tim Dwight that returned that kickoff? Was it Tim Dwight?
Yeah, I think that was.
Could be wrong. Yeah, that was like the only highlight for me. I mean, but I remember that game being so bummed. I've been a Falcons fan since 1995. So I've definitely rode with the team through hard times. And look, anyone who stuck around after Super Bowl 51, more power to you. For me, I stuck around after Super Bowl 51 because, you know, had the Falcons had won that game, there was individuals in the media, I'm thinking of one in particular, that were already, you know, saying this Falcons team could be contenders for the next 2 or 3 years to come. And so had they have won, they may have been most likely favorites to win the following year. But so when they lost Super Bowl 51, I thought to myself, okay, next year, this squad is going to come back. They picked up Tech McKinley, probably my favorite Falcons draft pick in the past 5 years. So they picked up Tech McKinley, and I thought, here they go. Well, they lost last year to the Eagles, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to pin this one on Steve Sarkisian and play calling, just like maybe every other Falcons fan, but I just, at face value, blamed it on the play calling. So I initially did that, and I thought, we'll get better next year. Kyle Shanahan had a tough year his first year in Atlanta, so it'll get better next year. So come the start of this season, I'm not even going to mention preseason and what I saw in terms of depth there, because preseason doesn't matter. So I won't even touch on that. But, you know, the team starts 1-4. And for me, it then became an issue, not necessarily about personnel, albeit they have a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of injuries on the defensive end of the ball. Two starters out for the season, one starter on injured reserve, can't come back until after. But what is it, the Dallas game, or for the Dallas game? I don't know. You would certainly know that, I think, Aaron. But I didn't necessarily pin it on the injuries. I was pinning it on philosophy. I was pinning it on the next man up philosophy, the idea that in-house you can go as deep as to the practice squad and pull somebody up, and they can come in and they can fill in for Keanu Neal. They can fill in for, a Deion Jones at linebacker. They can fill in for Ricardo Allen. I didn't agree with that. I think Duke has at most done decent you know, in his time in linebacker, but or in his time in for Deion Jones, rather at linebacker. But for me, it's why didn't you go out? Why didn't you sign an Eric Reed? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would think that you and I both agree that it's just not the Falcons' MO to go out and do that. Obviously, the Panthers did, and I think they were right for it, and I think it was a great pickup. But why don't you go out and you sign some free agent help? Why don't you go out and make a trade? I mean, you're sitting on some amazing assets right now. You have three running backs who could arguably start for any, I mean, not any, but who could arguably be starters in the NFL. So, and I'm talking about Ito Smith. I'm really big on Ito. Maybe I'm overhyping it, but I really like the guy. So, you know, you have some assets. Why didn't you use some of those assets to try to bring in some help on the defensive end of the ball? And it wasn't happening. So Monday morning, and this is where I've been catching some heat. Monday morning, the day after the Steelers game, I emailed Thomas Dimitroff. Now, I will say this, because it's been, you know, it's been brought up. Well, how in the world would someone email a general manager of an NFL team? And someone even went as far as to say they don't have, quote unquote, public emails. Well, first of all, we're talking about an NFL GM. We're not talking about the leader of a country. We're not talking about someone in the CIA. We're talking about an NFL GM, and they've got a network of emails just like anyone else. With determination in Google, I got Thomas Dimitroff's email address and sent him an email. And lo and behold, to my surprise, he emailed back. Now, I think where I caught a lot of heat was in doing so, Aaron, I decided that, you know, enough was enough. Thomas and Dan are in control of that team. And, you know, I didn't trust at the time that they were leading this team in the right direction. And it was going to go south very quickly. And I didn't want to stick around for it. In fact, my wife and I were about to drop around $1,500 to go to the Bucks game yesterday. Of course, we live in Los Angeles, so we needed to fly to the game. So we immediately canceled travel reservations. We sold our tickets to the game, and I didn't want to invest. And we have a great team right now in Los Angeles called the Los Angeles Rams. Of course, they're now 6-0. So, you know, my wife and I pondered. I said, do you want to be Chargers fans? What about the idea of being Chargers fans? You know, try to get behind a team we can support here in Los Angeles. And my wife doesn't like the Chargers. So, I like Joey Bosa. She doesn't like the Chargers. So we chose the Rams. Doesn't hurt that they're 5-0. So I reached out to the Rams organization and I said, you know, my wife and I would love to become fans. We don't want to be bandwagon fans. So therefore, if you would love to offer us an official invite, we would love to accept. So they did just that. Kevin Dimoff, the vice president of the Rams organization, shot me an email and he said, Kai, we'd love to have you folks on board as fans. How about I also send you some Rams swag, some goodies is what he called it. Now, when I shared the story on Twitter, I think that's where it kind of, there's kind of a fork in the road because it came across as if I had emailed the Rams organization and said, if you get, what is it? Is it called Kid Pro Quo? Where if you give me this, I'll do that. That was not the case whatsoever. And I don't know if I had sent you a copy of the email, Aaron, but you know, for me, I just simply wanted kind of like an invite in. Not that you have to have an invite to join an NFL or to be a fan of an NFL team. But for us, didn't want to feel like bandwagon fans, and you know, we take a lot of pride in the team that we root for, the Falcons. So when Kevin gave us the invite, officially invite to become Rams fans, I then emailed Thomas Dimitroff, and it was the Monday after the Steelers game. And I told Thomas that been fan since 1995 of the Falcons. I became a fan because a family friend of ours, Rich Miano, had played for the Falcons one season. Prior to that, he played for the Jets and the Eagles. But when he eventually stopped playing after he played with the Falcons, I remained a Falcons fan. So I've been with the organization. I've been a fan of the organization since 95. So I told Thomas this, and I told Thomas that I don't have faith or trust in the way, in the manner in which he's leading the team, and as it pertains to the philosophy of a next man up, and maybe that's more of Coach Quinn's verbal philosophy as opposed to it is maybe even his, but I know he's on board and intertwined with that concept of, you know, staying in house. So I didn't agree with that philosophy, and I didn't trust that they were taking us down the right road. And I thought that they had the personnel to, you know, I thought they had enough personnel, albeit the injury, to not be 1-4. This team could easily have a winning record right now, in my opinion. So despite the injury, I told them that we got rid of our tickets to the Bucks game. And I told them that, I stuck around through 51. I stuck around through, the loss to Denver. And I said, but for this and seeing the direction you're taking this team, I can't be on board with that. That was my choice. By the way, never fan shame someone. I know that's I don't know what else to call it, but it's just like if somebody wants to go invest their time and money into another team, like, don't flip out about it. I mean, you'd be very surprised at how seriously people take this. I take it very seriously, but if somebody wants to root for another team, then geez, let them live their life. So anyways, having that been said, I ended the email to Thomas by stating that, hey, here's a couple of photos. Me in 1995, right outside the Falcons locker room after the game, meeting Falcon great Jesse Tuggle. I sent him that photo, and I sent him a photo of me and my wife at the game in Los Angeles last year, the playoff game. So much to my surprise, Thomas emails back. Very simply, he says something to the tune of, thanks for the email, Kai. Can you send me your cell phone so we can chat? And I immediately called my wife, and I was like, you would not believe who just emailed me back and what they said. I shot him my number on Monday. I think it was Monday. And I was waiting by my phone anxiously. And that's all I could think about, admittedly. He didn't call Monday. He didn't call Tuesday. He didn't call Wednesday. Finally, Thursday, I'm out walking our two dogs, and I get my cell phone rings, and it's an Atlanta area code. I pick up the phone. I know who it is. No one calls me from Atlanta. I said, hello, this is Kai. He goes, Kai, this is Thomas Dimitroff from the Atlanta Falcons. And everything was just kind of like spinning around me. And he said, immediately, Kai, I want to let you know right now. I don't normally do this. In fact, in the 11 years that I've been GM here at the Falcons, I don't think I've ever responded to a fan, ever. So he said, I felt that I should do this. He goes, for me, maybe it was that picture of you as a kid there meeting Jesse Tuggle. Because I think that solidified in his mind. And you'll hear, people will say all the time, hey, I've been a Falcons fan for this long, this many years, blah, blah, blah. But then here's a photo of me meeting, one of my favorite Falcons of all times. When I say I'm a Falcons fan, it's real. So that touched home for him. And he said, I just felt the need, to call you. And I had him on the phone. So I just, all of those complaints I had on Twitter, all of those concerns I had, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, now is the time to address them. So which, by the way, on Twitter, I went off on him. I went off on Dan Quinn. And as a result, the Falcons actually unfollowed me on Twitter. That was last week after the Pittsburgh game. They actually unfollowed me on Twitter. And rightfully so, I'm a grown man. A grown man. And I certainly shouldn't be acting juvenile from the standpoint of bringing people down with negative words. Definitely is not good or okay. I since apologized to the Falcons, to the individual who runs the Falcons account, and he certainly accepted my apology. I didn't ask him to follow me back, and of course they didn't. But nonetheless, Thomas knew about that because I had explained to him and I apologized to him for the negative things I said. And he said this. He said, well, what did you say about me if you don't mind me asking? Because I don't have Twitter. So I had to then tell the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons all this trash talking I was doing about him on Twitter. I had to tell him. And I had to tell him that because I was like, well, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to not tell you. So I had to tell him that, and I felt at that point I was like a kid in trouble. So I'm like, man. So, and I also mentioned that I talked about negatively about Dan Quinn, and he said, well, what did you say about Dan? And I was just like, oh my God, do I have to do this? So I told him about Dan. I think I said right after the Pittsburgh game, I had shot off, and I think this is actually what got me unfollowed by the Falcons, but I popped off and I said something to the tune of, he's an overrated defensive coach that walked into an ideal situation in Seattle where the general manager and the head coach had more to do with putting that Legion of Boom defense together than he did. So I popped off and I said something like that, and I had to explain that to Thomas, and I can hear Thomas and it's kind of like, okay, this is, you're ridiculous. But I apologized, and then he immediately set some boundaries, and that was, well, Kai, I wanted to call, and I wanted to have just an intelligent conversation, a back and forth. And immediately I thought, yeah, of course, I'm not going to, you know, cuss out the guy or anything like that. So that's exactly what we did. And I shared my concerns. And the first concern was the philosophy and the concept of next man up. Of we're not going to bring in any help from the outside. We're not going to go make a trade for some marquee player on the defensive end of the ball or sign, you know, said free agent, which, by the way, Aaron, he never mentioned the name of a free agent or player that he could possibly trade for, because as he even noted in the conversation, I don't think he can speak about another player. Maybe it's under contract for another team, but he certainly didn't even mention anyone in free agency. So, we started there. Immediately, his first response was, well, and I think this was the number, I don't recall, and you can confirm for me. The first thing he said was, well, Kai, I just spent $30 million on the quarterback. Was it, so did he get $30 million? Is he getting $30 million a season? How much is he getting?
Yeah,
30 mil. Right. He goes, I just spent $30 million on a season. And he said, was it like 100 overall or something like that?
150, I don't.
Yeah. So he said that. That's the first three where he started. And then he went down the line, okay? He went down the line about, you know, regarding every player that he needs to re-up with. He talked about just re-upping with Julio Jones. He actually, Aaron, didn't mention revisiting Julio's contract in the spring. I know I read about that through the media, that they were going to give him a few more dollars this season and then in the spring revisit. He didn't mention anything about that, but he went down the kind of the roster, if you will, of players that he's going to re-up with or needs to re-up with soon. And he would say things like, got to renew Grady Jarrett's contract. You want to keep Grady Jarrett, don't you? And I said, yes, of course. Well, then he said, just in talking about the various players they need to renew contracts with, he slid in, and I don't know if he was tipping his hand or if he meant to say this, but he mentioned the name Vic Beasley, and I got a shock because I was like, are we talking about the 2017, first part of 2018 Vic Beasley? Because I definitely don't think we should renew anything with him. But he did say, you know, we're going to have to renew Vic Beasley. So he was going through these lists of players. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, because you got media, you know, Falcons media, like a Scott Krasik, who will, as he did today, write an article and talk about, you know, the Falcons should consider trading for X player, and here's how the money will work. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, Thomas, you know how the money would work. You know you can go out and still trade for a player. That's when he took it from the money aspect to, if we bring in someone right now, you know, and you get rid of someone, and you got to then you know, you talked about having to deal with that new contract or whatever it is in the spring. I don't remember his the specifics there, but he talked about money first. Then he talked about the cultural fit. Then that's when he really got into the meat of what our conversation revolved around, which is the cultural fit. And this is where I got a lot of questions answered.
So, guys, that's where we're going to leave it. I know you're sitting there like, oh, man, this thing was getting good, but I'm going to have to cut it in half here. We're going to split this into two parts because Kai had so much to say. And because, you know, we try to keep these podcasts under 30 minutes. I know most of these episodes are 35 or so minutes on the show. So at that point, we try to keep these things short instead of, we're still, you know, hour-long conversation that Kai and I had. And we'll finish that on Thursday's episode. If you want to follow Kai on Twitter, he is at Ikaika Hall, I-K-A-I-K-A Hall, H-A-L-L. You know, I would recommend refraining from tweeting too much at him before you hear the second half of the story. But we'll follow that up on Thursday. Tomorrow's episode will be a Locked On Giants crossover episode, where one of the hosts of the Locked On Giants podcast will be joining me to talk about this upcoming Monday night game between the Falcons and Giants in Week 7. That's tomorrow's episode. But again, the conclusion to this very interesting and compelling conversation that Kai and I had will air on Thursday, and then we'll have a fan talk on Friday's show. So that's the plan for this week, and then we'll come back Monday with probably another sort of Giants conversation that we can discuss. And then the Tuesday, you know, due to the Monday night game, Tuesday will be our rapid reaction. You know the drill. And then we'll be on the bye week, and we'll have some interesting content for you guys. If you want to provide your feedback on this show or future shows, suggestions on some bye week content, I'm all ears, always open to your guys' feedback. You can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, as some of those comments probably will be, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's podcast handle. If you prefer Facebook, Locked On Falcons is the name of our Facebook page, as well as you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com, mail.com, and you can leave a comment at FalcFans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. So there you have it, guys. Again, I know some of you are like, man, you know, let's wrap this up. I can't wait, you know, 48 hours before for you to wrap this up. But you will have to, because them's the rules. So we'll conclude this on Thursday with Kai, and we'll be back then. But tomorrow is our crossover episode. So appreciate you guys. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.